You guys like the rain?
Yes.
I'll tell you, yeah, when in the summertime in northern Nevada, it doesn't rain much, so you got to appreciate when you do get it, right? So a little bit of a change. Mm-hmm. Today I want to talk about the power and the goodness of God. How many know that there's people out there that are powerful, like a Hitler? Okay, he's got a lot of power. He can do a lot of things, but he's not good. So there's a lot of negativity in somebody like that. And it doesn't have to be Hitler, but a lot of leaders can do a lot of negatives. So they've got power. And there's other people that are good. Maybe like a sweet grandma, loving and kind and everything, but she doesn't have much power. You know, she can't pay her own bills. She's got a hard time helping anybody else. So she's got goodness, but no power. And some people have power and no goodness. But God is all powerful and all good. There's no negativity. There's nothing wrong with God Almighty. So that's the God we serve. But there are people out there now that are forsaking our God. This country's been blessed, church. How many know that? And if you know the history of America, when the pilgrims first came over, they dedicated this country to God. But a lot of people are forsaking that. And this church or this country has been blessed, but there's a lot of problems now. More problems, I think, than ever. As we forsake God, you know what? We're getting more difficulties and more challenges in this country. But God has not forsaken us. 2 Kings. I'm going to be reading about Ahaziah. Okay, I'll believe you. Ahaziah, he was the king of Israel, and there was actually another king, Ahaziah of Judah, just to make it confusing. So. But anyway, Ahaziah, his mother was Jezebel and his father was Ahab. And if you know anything about Jezebel and Ahab, they were some pretty wicked people. They were some of the worst rulers. They brought in Baal worship into Israel, and eventually Israel was taken over by their enemies, and these people did a lot of damage in that situation. And even now, if somebody calls you a Jezebel, ladies, they're probably not trying to compliment you. But we're going to read about Ahaziah, thank you for correcting me, and about what happened to him. Now Ahaziah fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria, and was injured. So he sent messengers and said, "Go inquire of Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise and go meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say to them, is it because there is no god in Israel that you're going to inquire of Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die." So Elijah departed. So in this case, Elijah was talking to the messengers. So we're going to skip down to 2 Kings 1, starting in 16. Now Elijah is actually in the presence of Ahaziah. And then he said to him, "Thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal Zebub, god of Ekron, is it because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from this bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die." So Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. Because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place. In the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. There's some tongue twisters there, folks. Ahaziah was a wicked king. He did a lot of damage to the people, to his own country. He married a foreign woman. His mother was a foreign woman, so they did a lot of damage. But the word of the Lord came to them and said, if you would have inquired of the Lord, you would have been healed. But because you went to the god of Ekron, the wicked god, you're going to die. So even though he's been wicked all his life, God has given him a second chance. You know, God always gives us a second chance and sometimes a third chance. And if we need it, he might give us a fourth chance or a fifth chance. But this was his last chance. And he failed and he died. He died young. He could have lived longer. So I'm going to pray now. God, there is no one like you, God. You are Lord of lords, King of kings. And Lord God, as this word goes forth, we ask that you would give us ears to hear what you would say to us, eyes to see your word, and a heart that is open to receive all that you have for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So praise God. You know, our country has been blessed, but there's a lot of people that are forsaking the old ways. And I'm going to read a Facebook post that Leslie got, and it's nobody that she knows. This is a friend of a friend. But this young lady says, and it's kind of long, so sit back and listen. It says, I used to practice witchcraft. I did spells, I read oracle cards, did energy work, and used crystals as a means of healing, protecting, and manifestation. I was a Reiki master and a yoga teacher. I believed in astrology, manifested under a new moon, and did shadow work under the full moon. So church, this is stuff that's happening right now today, modern America. This is what a lot of the cool people are doing. You know, I mean, this is trendy, this crystals and astrology and all this other kind of stuff. I would not be surprised if there's people that you know right now that are practicing this stuff. As a matter of fact, there's a young lady who attends this church who's got a testimony, and I haven't heard all of her testimony, but she went far into this, and she said that one day she's going to give a full testimony. But she heard voices, and she was hearing a lot of negative manifestations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I found my spirit guides. Can I admit something to you guys? I've got a spirit guide. It's the Holy Spirit. And I let them lead the course of my life. I would talk to the spirit, source, universe, and I believed that it was speaking to my higher self. I believed that I created my own reality and that I was my own God in control of my own life. I was also trapped in a continuous cycle of healing, up-leveling, consistently needing the next healing session in various forms, feeling good after each healing session, and chasing for that high feeling when it would wear off. I believed that my next crisis was just leveling me up and raising my vibrations and cracking some secret code to the harmony of the collective planet. And I really don't know what this lady's talking about, but this is what she believed in. You know, this is what she was following. While I believed all this, I was suffering in a deep pit of depression. I longed to feel love, heard, and understood. My soul lacked a sense of belonging. My body was in a constant state of fight or flight. There were days I had wished I weren't alive. I was being tormented, experiencing regular sleep paralysis. I thought I could burn a little sage, say a little chant, and put the crystals in every corner of my room to stop it. But I was wrong about all of that. What it was actually doing was laying down a deep welcome mat for darkness, deception that comes with it. I felt so allergic to the G word, and that's God. I almost unfriended a New Age colleague who had recently come to Christ because she couldn't stop talking about Jesus. I was irritated about it, angry, repelled. I thought, what happened to her? Has she gone mad? But God, in His grace, there's always a but God, He sent me in my stubbornness, in my sin, in my depression. There was a moment in my resistance where I reluctantly watched a movie about Jesus to appease my boyfriend at the time. I watched and I sobbed hysterically. I was overcome by the intense feeling of love, something I had never ever felt before. The kind of love that I was desperately chasing in all the wrong ways, looking for love in all the wrong places. That's when I knew God was after my heart. I tried to deny it and ignore it, but I wanted to feel that feeling again, so I chased after Jesus. I started reading the Bible. I never really had done that before, and God's character was revealed to me. I prayed a lot. I had resistance in attending church, but eventually I bounced around to a few churches until I found a biblically sound church that I loved. And this is how I started a relationship with God. Amen, amen. So that's the good news. How many know that the word gospel means good news? It actually means nearly too good to be true news. See, people, they're looking for things. They're looking for healing. They're looking for love. And they're looking for power. Astrology. I've got a couple verses about astrology. There's some people who are into that, and you know, they think, oh, what's the problem? You know, knowing your sign and everything like that. But the Bible's got some words about it. Isaiah 47, 13 and 14. It says, all the advice you receive has made you tired. Where are your astrologers, the stargazers, who made these predictions each month? Let them stand and save you from what the future holds. But they are like straw burning in a fire. They cannot save themselves from the flame. You will get no help from them at all. Their hearth is no place to sit for warmth. Don't be playing with this stuff, guys. There's negativity, and I'm sure you guys probably aren't. I mean, right now I'm probably preaching to the choir, like they say. But how many know that you probably have friends and people that you know that are messing with this stuff? They're playing with fire. crystals, that's where a lot of people start. I read a little bit up on that. It says they shield against physical harm and emotional negativity. They've got different types of crystals. And some crystals, they promote strength, clarity, compassion, healing, intuition. And then there's the chakras. That's people who get into crystals, they end up going into chakras. And that's got to do about meditation and visualization and energy. Chakras about that energy that's coming out of me. But it's actually related to Hinduism and Buddhism and yoga. Yoga has to do with Hinduism and spiritualism too. You know, when people get into a yoga position, they meditate and they want to, there's a godly meditation when we meditate on the word, but they open up their mind. They say, you know, open up my mind. And how many know that nature abhors a vacuum? So if you open up your mind, let it be totally open, something's going to take that place. Something's going to go inside of you. And just like that young lady, you know, there's negative consequences. Mm-hmm. So people are looking for power, amen. And how many know that we've got that? Acts 1:8 says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. How many of you are born again in here? Most of us, amen. It says, you will receive power when that Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses. You know, it doesn't say that you will do witnessing. I mean, if you go door to door and knock and tell people about Jesus, hey, that's all good. You know, I'm not going to discourage anyone from doing that. But the scripture says that you will be a witness. It's not what you do, it's who you are. A witness is somebody who can testify about what God has done. I can testify about what God has done. I can testify what he's doing in my life, what I am experiencing. That is the witness. So we are witnesses to his power, guys. You know, I'm not saying that in some of these yoga and crystals and all of this New Age stuff, maybe there is just a little bit of power in there. You know, maybe there's something just enough to get you hooked. But greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Amen? So we've got, doesn't matter how many people are into that or whatever, we've got something better. God is a good God. God is for us and not against us. Amen? And it says, you shall be my witnesses in Judea. Now that was the closest area that where they were at. In Samaria. Samaria, it was a little bit further out. Like you could say, okay, Judea, our Judea would be here in Spring Creek and Elko. Samaria might be the further off places, you know, like maybe Salt Lake City, maybe Reno or Twin Falls, and to the end of the earth. So we start here where we're at, and as we get full of this Spirit, if we get full of that power, we start to spread out. You know, hey, you know, people, you know, our message is going to be heard in other communities around here. And then to the full ends of the earth. We've got missionaries in, they were in Africa, in New Zealand, and Europe, and pretty much all over the place. You know, we support these missionaries, and thank God that God has blessed us to be able to do that. So don't forget that, guys. We have power. Next verse, 1 Corinthians 6:17. We have power because our spirit is united with God's spirit. It says, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Praise God. My spirit has been united with God's spirit when I was born again. My spirit is one with God's spirit. Church, you have that Holy Spirit inside of you. Everything that you need is from the Holy Spirit and is already inside of you. There's no division. You're united with him. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, we're not just spirit. We're body, soul, and spirit. Three-part being, just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Our body, everybody knows what the body is. You know, you look in the mirror, you comb your hair, you know, you're not combing your spirit's hair, right? And everybody knows that the spirit is the part of us that's going to be with God forever. But our soul is the part that people are confused about. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the peace, and the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and your soul and your body, there's the three-part being, be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're body and we're soul and we're spirit. Our spirit has the perfection of God inside of us. Our body is getting older, but it's our soul. And I think if you could do the next slide there. Soul has been called, if you can read that, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So your spirit is united with God's spirit. Your body, like I said, everybody knows what it is. But it's your mind that we need to renew. It's your will. You know, you have a will. God hasn't given you he hasn't made you a robot. He hasn't made you an automaton where you do whatever he says. You know, you have a will. You know, you can do what you want. You can resist the Holy Spirit, where you can humble yourself and follow the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Your emotions, that's part of us. You know, God gave us emotions, but they're not supposed to drive the car. They're supposed to be behind, right? So we have joy, we have peace, we have love, and there's even such a thing as a godly anger. But some people are so into their emotions, they'll put you in places where you don't want to go. You know, my anger can be out of control. You know, I can go off at any little thing there. So we don't want to have our emotions running our lives. We want to have our emotions under control. I don't know if how many of you remember James Dobson. Maybe a few of you guys who got a few white hairs like me probably do. But he wrote a book, Emotions, Can You Trust Them? Well, the answer is no, you really can't. You know, we need to have our emotions under control. So to live this Christian life, this godly life, we want to develop our spirit. See, in my spirit, there's love, there's peace, there's joy, all these fruits of the Spirit. There's patience, there's kindness, there's goodness. All these good things are inside of me. But you know what? They're bound up in my soul, in my stinking thinking. When I don't think God's thoughts, when I let the world control the way I think, you know what? These good things that are on the inside of me, they're not coming out. You know, I'm not being the person that God would have me to be. Philippians 2:12. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So it says, work out your salvation, but it doesn't say work for my salvation. There's some people who get confused about that. They think, well, you know, I need to be a good person. I need to do this. I need to pay my tithes. I need to help grandma across the street. But that's not what it's saying. It says, work out. So God put good things on the inside of us. We need to work that things out so that we can be the people that we need to be. So we can have that joy and the peace and the love and the grace. All that, those good spiritual things need to be worked out in our lives. And it says with fear and trembling. You know, there's such a thing as a godly fear. And I think a lot of people forget that. You know, if you can sin without thinking about it, you know, if you can steal, if you can lie, if you can talk hurtful things, you know what? You don't have a godly fear. I mean, we love Him. God is love, but He's powerful, and we don't want to treat Him like He's a nothing, like a nobody. That means you have no godly fear. Amen. So work these things out, guys. And how do we do that? It's nothing that you don't know about. It's prayer. It's the Bible. It's fellowship. It's worship. All these things, you know what? Our spirit is getting stronger. You know what? If you have a problem with joy, you know what? There's joy on the inside of you. If you don't have any peace, there's peace on the inside of you. So work these things out, church. That's our whole job in this job here on this earth. Pleasing God, letting the life of God come through us, letting us be the person that God would have us to be. But we need to have patience. How many know that things don't always necessarily happen as quickly as you would want them to be? But my next verse is Colossians 2:10. It says, you are complete in Him who is the head of all principalities and power. Church, we are complete. Everything that God has given us is already in us. But it's like a little baby. The baby is a complete, whole human being. But he needs to be developed. So there's areas in my life that I need to be developed. You know, I'm not the person that I need to be. But thank God I'm on the way. Thank God I'm resisting the devil. Scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee. I'm not the man that I need to be, but I'm better than I was yesterday, amen. But I am complete. You know, if you can, I don't need anything else. If you could get that down in your heart, you know what it's going to make? It's going to make a difference in your life. You know, if that's something that you can think about, meditate on, remember. Mm-hmm. But like I said, sometimes we have to have patience. Acts 10:38. I'm sure he's got it up there. And it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So the Greek word here for healing is iomane. Did I do that one right? Iomai. See, she's a scholar. One more time.
Iomai.
What she said. Iomai.
I used to teach Sunday schools in Korean classes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Teachers.
Well, I'm glad she keeps me on my toes there. Thank you, Dawn. So anyway, iomai is a treatment, a cure, or a remedy. It's a healing over a period of time. So praise God, everybody wants a miraculous cure, but sometimes over time. It's not necessarily instantaneous, miraculous, overnight, or you know, I was reading about Peter when he was in the temple. He saw a beggar who looked at him and he wanted something. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. So he reached down, helped the beggar up, and he started jumping, leaping for joy. Praise God, everybody likes that. But how many know that that's not necessarily the way things work out? Sometimes we have to have patience. Sometimes maybe we believe that that God's going to work through the doctor. Can we believe that? Amen, you know. I remember this pastor who told this story about a member of his congregation who was getting sick. He was in the hospital, and every day he was just getting a little bit sicker, a little bit sicker, a little bit sicker. And he tried praying for him. He prayed for him, and it wasn't working. But every day he's just getting a little bit sicker. So finally, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he said, can we believe today that maybe we're not going to get sick, a little bit sicker? Maybe things are going to stabilize? And that's what happened, you know. Okay, he's not quite dying. Things are starting to stabilize. He's getting, but he's not really getting better. So after a few days, he asked the guy again, can we pray that maybe we can just get a little bit better today? So we prayed that. A little bit better the next day. So every day he prayed, you know, and the guy was getting just a little bit better, a little bit better. He was still real sick. And then, I don't know why, but he wasn't able to see him for a couple weeks. And he asked about him. So how's so-and-so doing? Oh, haven't you heard? He's doing real well. He's out of the hospital. He's home. Everything's turned around. So praise God. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes things take time. You know, you guys are believing for your finances. Maybe it feels like you're getting more debt, a little bit more debt all the time. Things are looking a little bit worse. Maybe we can believe, hey, you know, maybe we can at least believe God that things will quit getting worse. You know, maybe he's not going to send that miracle that we would all like, right? Maybe you're not going to look down and find a lottery ticket and go cash it in and win your $10 million. It's probably not going to happen. But first of all, we believe that things quit getting worse. And then maybe we start believing that things are getting just a little bit better. And then eventually we start believing that, you know, hey, God can change the situation. He can turn it around. So it can be a process. It takes time. You know, it's not always as easy as we would like. And how many know that while that's happening, he's working in us. He's changing us. You know, I mean, if everything happened easy, you know what? There'd be no growth on the inside of us. So sometimes it takes time, and it takes takes walking some things out, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your health, whether it's your finances, whether it's any other thing. You know, there's going to be a time most of the time. Praise God. And that was actually not in order of the way I would have it there. But First Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7 and 11, this is talking about the manifestation of the Spirit. That lady that we were talking about in the first, you know, there was manifestations of the Spirit, but those were evil spirits. Those were negative spirits. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. To the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge and through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kind of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So there's a lot there, you know, and you could preach a lot of sermons just on these few verses here. But the point I wanted to make is, a work of the Spirit is a gift of healing. And healing is, say it again, Dawn. Iomaya, what she said. So there's miracles and then there's healings. Praise God. So just because it's healing, just because it takes time, that doesn't mean it's not from the Spirit. It's not a gift of the Spirit. Amen? Praise God. But you know what? Go ahead. It's what?
It's to profit.
It is, yeah. Absolutely. God is a good God. God is for us. He's not against us. God loves us. And all we need to do is submit ourselves to him. You know, he died. Jesus died for us on the cross. I mean, if you don't know that, you've missed the whole meaning of Christianity. God so loved the world. Everybody knows this verse, John 3:16. That he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God sent his Son to die for us on the cross. So it's for us, and he's not against us. But how many know what the words come out of our mouth are important? 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, and we, having that same spirit of faith, as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. We have been made speaking spirits. What we say matters to God. Matthew 12:33-37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Church, I can tell what's in your heart, and you can tell what's in my heart, because of what's coming out of my mouth. If we're full of the Word of God, if we're full of good things are going to come out of our mouth. If we're full of negativity, if we're full of the world, if we're full of a lot of different things I could say, but a full of a lot of bad things are going to come out of us eventually. Mm-hmm. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the judgment day. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So that could be a little bit scary. It says, for every idle word that men speak. Idle means non-working. You know, if you're just being idle, hanging around, that means you're doing nothing. So God is going to judge us by the words that we speak. Okay, that's not not necessarily salvation, but you know, if I'm here flapping my gums, talking negativity about people, you know what? God's hearing. He's listening to us. Every single word, it says that he's going to justify us or he's going to condemn us. And that's something that we need to remember, you know, because if you decide to start complaining about your boss, if you start saying, oh, this word of God, this doesn't work for me, you know what? God hears that. He said, you know, God will meet my needs. Well, it's not meeting my needs. You know what? He's hearing you say that. Talk bad about the pastor. You know what? God's hearing you say that too. So the words that you speak are important to God. The Jewish elder said that he made us a speaking spirit. So we're a spirit and our words matter. As a matter of fact, it's involved in our salvation. Okay, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And these are, like when I was doing jail ministry, these are scriptures that I always would use. Says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Did you get that? With the heart one believes unto salvation, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So God hears your confession. There's going to have to come a time that you say, Jesus is Lord. Can we say that right now, everybody? Jesus is Lord. It's important. You know, he says it twice, actually. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, so we have to have faith in our heart and faith in our mouth, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the mouth one Or with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise God. All right, church, I'm going to be ending up here pretty quick. Got a couple more verses. But a few weeks ago, Pastor Keith or Brother Keith, who's doing the work as a pastor right now, he used this scripture and it reminded me of some things. It's Ephesians 3, starting in verse 20. And it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us, to him be the glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Praise God. So it's according to the power that's at work within us. I think sometimes people pray, you know, they're saying, Lord, you know, send that power down. No, God wants to work through us more than we can ask or think. But it's us on the inside, growing ourselves on the inside. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Praise God. He wants to use us. He works through people. Generally, he just doesn't, things just don't fall out of the sky. Praise God. So he wants to use me and he wants to use you. Mm-hmm. All right, Romans 5:17. There we go. Oh, you don't see it? Oh, maybe I forgot to put it on there. All right, so if you guys got your Bibles, I'll let you open your up to this. You know, I'm kind of old school. I always bring my Bible to church. Half the time we don't open it up, but I always got to have it in my hand there. Anyway, Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, who we're talking about Adam. Through Adam's sin, death reigned through the one, death reigned through us all, through Adam. Much more those who receive that abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Amplified Bible says, will reign in life as a king. So God wants us to reign in this life. We don't have to be turning back to these, to this wicked spiritual things, this yoga, this Buddhism, these chakras, these crystals. No, God wants us to reign in life through the abundance of grace. And grace is unmerited favor, the favor of God that we don't deserve. You know, don't ever pray, Lord, I just want what I deserve. I've been being good. No, we don't want what we deserve. We want grace. Grace is an unmerited favor. So we reign through abundance of grace. So I want to hear a lot of grace. I want to have grace coming out my ears. Abundance means a whole bunch. And the gift of righteousness. Church, you have been made right. Not because you're such a good person. It's a gift of righteousness. You didn't earn it. I can say I'm righteous. And somebody might look at me and say, well, why would you say something like that? That sounds like you're bragging. But I'm not bragging. It's because it's a gift. So if you've been born again, if you received Christ into your life, you have received that gift of righteousness. Amen? So I think everybody here has been saved. I know there has been a couple people that have been coming that I haven't seen today, you know, that you know, are might be kind of new. But I've also heard people say, you know what, I've went to church for years, but for some reason that salvation message never really penetrated my heart. For some reason, you know, they can act Christian, you know, they look like they're Christian, they know all the Christianese, but they haven't been born again. So if anybody's not sure, this is your opportunity. This is the day of salvation. And this is the verse that I use when I do the jail ministry. Back to Romans 10, 9 and 10. It's so easy for us, guys. Some people believe, well, you know, this is such an easy thing. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, that's too easy. That's all I have to do is confess him and believe. Hey, it's easy for us, but Jesus did the hard part on the cross. He paid a terrible price for each one of us. So it's free for us, but it's not cheap. He made it easy for us, though, so we don't have to have any excuse. He's not looking just for good people. He's looking for the blind, for the lame, for the people who didn't have room in their heart for God. And you know what? And that's all of us. None of us have lived up to that perfect standard. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, church. So we're all in the same boat. Mm-hmm. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Once it's saying the same thing. Believe. I'm asking you to believe. I'm asking you to believe that this material world is not everything that there is. That there's a spiritual world. That we're not just an accident. We're just not chemicals. But there is a God in heaven who's created us. There's a God in heaven who loves us. But somebody had to pay the price for our sins. And that was Jesus. So I'm going to pray this prayer. And I'm going to ask everybody to say amen. And then we are going to have the worship team come up and do one more song. And if you want, you can take that opportunity to pray. Whether you're praying for a specific need, whether you're praying, you're not sure about this salvation, what it's all about, or whether you just want to worship. But during this last song, we're gonna pray, and then we're going to dismiss, and then we're going to go love. So this is the prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. You paid the price that I could not pay. You were wounded. You were beaten. You were scourged. And you died a painful death for us on the cross. You took my sin, and I took your righteousness. You did it for me, and you did it for love. And now I confess that you are my Lord. And if you believe it, say, amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. Worship team, if you would, please, let's come up and do one more song, and then we're going to get out.